Hi Sandra, this is a topic which I've been working on recently. Things fell in place as a result of an interaction which I had with somebody. So I would like to describe the event which took place, as a result of which I now have this notion that I understand what the Black Prince represents. That's one of the names for the Dark Lord or the Devil, and also how the Devil then relates to Lucifer. Actually, it is also the understanding how Lucifer, the Light One, and Lucifer, the Dark One, are the same. Everything suddenly became very clear, and at the same time it also makes clear that when people talk about the Devil, it is exactly the same as when they talk about Jesus, because both refer to the soul. And I already had understood that Jesus must be the soul, and that these descriptions in the various cultures about soul or Jesus or otherwise simply had led to confusion in people, as a result of which they could not connect to the soul. But what I discovered recently was that people can connect to their soul in a way that they form part with the universe, and actually through the soul can see more than what they know. This is a transition from tuition to intuition, and the soul then is their connection, their antenna into everything that is. So through the soul connection they can unfold and become larger than the body and the mind, because it is all about this relation between body, mind, soul, spirit, which are very closely related to anatomy, physiology, neurocrinology, and consciousness, which is another way of looking at what the alchemists called earth, water, air, and fire, which is exactly the same as what in system theory they call state, process, transformation, and integration. So with that recognizing of that underlying pattern in place, for me it was evident that soul has a fundamental property and principle in the body, and that when I looked into the soul I could actually find where soul was, because soul, if you look at the different language meanings, soul and goal are associated. Ziel in German and Ziel in Dutch. In Dutch, Ziel is the soul. In German, Ziel is the goal. And when you understand that with our freedom of choice, we have the possibility to choose about choices and to connect choices and to have choices act not just as a step forward and backward, sideways, one way or the other, but we can also make a walk out of these choices so that we can build up on previous choices and build up on previous choices, so that like a snail building a house by the Fibonacci series, every time the next step takes the previous step into account. Likewise, in our life decisions, we take the previous decision into account, and every next step unfolds a larger whole, the snail house becoming ever larger, and that by doing that, the deficient decision of the first cell can then be seen to connect to the deficient decisions of the second cell, which is a cell pair, a Cooper pair. We talked about that, and in that way, you can then see that all of these cell division decisions are interconnected. And in each of those cell division decisions, you can see that the cell, the material dissolves, the molecules evaporate, the atoms discharge, and then in phase space, at tetrionic quantum phase space, there is this hard mirroring of this implosion vortex, because it goes from 3D material to 2D molecular to 1D atomic to 0D quantum. And I use this term intentionally because the three-dimensional is like a standing wave, the two-dimensional is a traveling wave, the one-dimensional is a shock wave, the zero-dimensional is the phase change, the three-dimensional is the material structure, the two-dimensional is the molecular, which has these loops of electrons creating the time loops, which is the time base, which is actually the foundation of the definition of time. And then when you look deeper at the atomic, it is based not on the atomic orbits, but about the electron leap between the orbits, so that the electron jump is one-dimensional. So you go from three-dimensional, the bound electrons, to the two-dimensional, the electron flow, to the one-dimensional, the electron leap, to the zero-dimensional, the photon leap, or the quantum jump, quantum change. And then you see that in the cell division decision, there is this connection from matter to molecules to atoms to phase space. And tetrionics explains that nothing can be moved and nothing can be formed other than from the quantum space. The quantum space forms and moves all forms of matter. So from the quantum phase, you can then, phase space, you can then see that the atoms are put in motion, so a quantum change will change the atoms. The electron change in the atoms can then change form and deform and uncouple molecules. And these molecules can then connect and phase lock or phase loop the electrons within them, called bound electrons, and then it's called materials. So when we look at this, we need to look on at two levels. One is the level of electromagnetics, which is tetrionic quantum phase space. And there is another level, which is electron magnetics. And at the level of electron magnetics, something totally different happens, because there is this interaction of the quantum field with the material. And the material then builds up from the atomic to the molecular to the structured. And that is what happens in these cells, in the body, in the universe as a whole. By understanding that, we then have the realization that the cell division decisions are all connected in phase space. So we should not look for the sole connection of the body in the cells forming more and more cells, but we should look at them from the level of it being all tied together in an integral dynamic in phase space, where the first cell division, the second pair cell division, the third level cell divisions, they're all interconnected as a fractal. Susie Froebel calls that a time fractal. And then this time fractal is where the material connects to the immaterial in a very accurate, very precise way. And that is what, for me, then is the soul, because that is the one structure. It is that time fractal in the body which gets everything in the body connected and interconnected. So there is nothing in the body that is not based on that time fractal, the soul. And that's also something which I described in this story of the equation of health. But once you understand that this first cell unfolds again and again and again, it creates this time fractal. The time fractal, in the way described by Lawrence Edwards, is actually a vortex in itself. Of course, it has the counter vortex in the ancestry. So in the body, every next level creates more and more cells in the body, but it originated from more and more ancestors in the ancestry of the formation of that first cell. So this time fractal has two sides, one inside of the body connecting all of the cells, one outside of the body connecting all of the ancestors. And that is where the first cell then is actually a cell in the body of humanity. So this time fractal even though we do not see it. It's very much present because it creates a first cell and it remains the first cell even if all of these cells unfold. And in the equation of health, I then explained that when this fractal unfolds, it can create internal loops, like Lawrence Edwards described, so that you have this internal circulatory system that forms. So first you have the cell, and then you have the second step is the time fractal, which is also the vegetative system, the template of the vegetative system. At the third level, these internal circulations arise, which is the template for the animal system. That's the blood circulation with all the organs around it. And at the fourth level, that then creates a hologram, which can autopoietically, as Matrana called that, maintain itself. So it loops back on itself and maintains and recreates, replicates itself. That's also where the mathematics of Peter Rowlands is so important, combined with the geometry of Vanessa Hill, which actually ties back to what tetrionics shows. So there is this whole understanding that from the point to the line, to the plane, to the volume, the cell, to the vegetative fractal, to the animal circulation, to the hologram with the information of self-perpetuation of the body, they all interconnect. And the soul is that fractal where then the one cell and all of the cells are still connected. So essentially, functionally, when the body is formed, the whole body always virtually goes back to that first cell. Whenever something happens in the body, it always needs to go back to that first cell. In a way, you see that in the sleep cycle. In the day, we are associated with all of the things around us. Say that the three-dimensional space that we perceive as a kind of video game, the beta brain waves, then we fall asleep, and then the surface of the body is the projection screen that defines what is going on. That's the alpha brainwave level of the body process as a contained topology. Actually, it is a torus, because from mouth to anus we have this pipeline going through. In the sleep cycle, you then go to this internal organization of the organs, between them, pulsing between the inside of the body, the outside of the body, inside of the body. That is what is then in antiquity called the gods of the Olympus, the theta brainwave level. It's also the level of healing, as Bert Vervain talks about it, that's where the feed forward and the feedback cycles need to connect up. So that's where that looping comes in. But it is no longer a volume. It is actually, it needs to follow that line by which everything needs to connect. And then at the deepest level, at the cellular level with the delta brain waves, that is where the cell is then the inverse of the universe. So the relationship between body, mind, soul and spirit is in those four dimensions, body three-dimensional, mind two-dimensional, soul one-dimensional, it's that fractal, and spirit is the zero point of the turning point of the zygote, and also the first cell where the universe is the outside, you are the inside, so it's an inversion point within the universe itself. So that is the anchor point of the soul. The soul is then the antenna by which you're connected to say spirit, the universe as a whole, the quantum field, because it is always connected to the quantum field in every cell replication dynamic. And our being is thus connected to spirit. And with this understanding that our body is the anatomy, but the anatomy is simply the printout which ensues from the physiology, but the physiology is the communication between the cells, using biomolecules, biomaterials and all that. And the physiology is also the propagation. It is communication, and that has been discussed in previous episodes. the physiology is also the psychology. So inside of us, physiology and psychology together are the psychosomatic engine. And in the same way as within us the cell communication determines the integrity of the human, as I already mentioned, we are a cell in the body of humanity, then that same dynamic outside of it produces what we experience as sociology and ecology, the way we relate to each other and the way we relate to Earth. So that physiology is also the mental domain. So the anatomy is the body, the physiology is the mind, and then the neurocrinology is where we actually connect the inside and the outside, where we regulate and control the sphincters, where we actually operate the singularities. Do we open the boundary, do we close the boundary? That's also why acupuncture can work on that, to recalibrate the way we connect to the environment. And by doing that recalibration, it is then possible to reintegrate the body into the environment, retune it into the environment. And that is where the level of the soul then connects us to the larger whole. So the body and mind are, say, our experience. The body is the physical structure. Mind is connected to the physical structure. That's also why mind operates with memory. And when you have mind based on memory, you have mind based on knowledge. And that's what the word Yesha or Jesus means. So you have the body mind, which works with the accumulated information of life experiences in the body. But you also have the soul mind, which is where you're connected to the outside world, and the outside world interacts with what you're doing. So you're in a transcendent realization. It's called a third order system in physics. So you're actually at the edge of the system rather than inside of it. You're at the equivalent of the quantum leap, because the body would be the counterpart of classical science. The mind is the counterpart of relativistic science. The soul is the counterpart of quantum mechanical science, with the quantum leap. And then all of that tuning into the environment takes place in phase space, same as when the cell implodes on itself, bounces back on phase space and explodes itself back again. Then all of that is connected to phase space, which is spirit domain. So that spirit domain is always there. Tetrion called it the quantum fluctuation domain, or the quantum Tetrion quantum space, which is immaterial. It is electromagnetic, but there is nothing particular there, not at all. It can, however, create the particles, which is where then the soul level comes in and the atom level comes in. So the soul is also connected to these radio waves in the body, changing the atomic electron movements. And once that regulatory system has defined, that's where we take our decision. Once that is activated, then that determines the physiology, the ongoing current, just as we see these electron loops in the molecules. The circulatory system, the circulation, the physiology of the body, which is then also the equivalent of our convictions, the beliefs that we have, the internal state of being, the belief that we hold, our own reality that we carry out. And then the body acts on that and reacts on that and interacts with that, which is then the reflex-driven functioning of the body in our environment. So body, mind, soul and spirit are integral connected, and soul is down that level where the radio information field interacts with these electron dynamics at the atomic level, which of course connects to the molecular, which connects to the physical, but it all finds its origin in the electron leaps at the atomic level. So the soul is really very fundamental. And in that sense, the soul is the antenna. It's, again, it's that fractal, which at the surface also has all its connection points. And that's where we connect to the universe as a whole. Just to look at it from the other side, the surface of the body is where the soul then has its interplay, interfacing with the environment. That's where you find the sensory cells. They're points, and when they are charged, a Dirac pulse is released with infinite frequencies in a zero moment of time. That is then relayed through the neuron from a point to a line, where it goes in a time code. From space it goes to time code, and then it travels up through the neuron in the Fourier code up to the neural plexus. All these neurons come together. The ruffling of the rhythms of the neurons combine in the moiré array with amplification and suppression, as in the retina, of the information that comes together, which means that the time process now becomes a filtration or an energy process, which is then fed into the brain, where it goes into the hologram. That is where the information then integrates, and where the inside and the outside integrate, and that all based on how the experiences on the surface of the body, samsara, then filters from the point to the line to the plane to the volume in the brain, where an internal image is replicated and maintained, maya. And again, as I always say, the brain is not waiting for information, it only waits for information updates. And that means that we have information in all of the body parts. The brain has its image of what's going on, every muscle has an image of what's going on, every organ has a dynamic with a hologram image of what's going on. These bio-holograms of the organs, the brain, the body as a whole, the bone, the cell, we've talked about that. These bio-holograms, they are all interconnected, they together form a whole hologram, in the same way that all of the organs together form one organ, because every organ is a filter, but all of the organs together have, say, an octave of filtration built into them, and only together can they do the full job of what needs to be done. That's also why geriatrics looks at the way the organs need to counterbalance each other and together maintain that unity, which is a very different view than the surgeons who replace organs and disregard they are part of that interplay with the other organs together. Now you always need to come back to this understanding that the cells create an organ. An organ is a colony of cells. The body is a colony of colonies of cells, and all of them together work with this hologram, and that hologram has this same quality of that fractal of connecting into the environment, same as the cell connects into the body, the body connects into the humanity connects into all of the life forms. So the soul is that, let's call it an antenna, by which the part connects to the whole. So I needed to have all of this to fall in place, because we need to have that understanding that soul is something that we can now describe quite explicitly. It is possible to measure this. Of course, you need three-dimensional, four-dimensional measuring techniques, holographic measuring techniques, and you need to be able to discern holograms within holograms, so people will get that at some point. Our body already works in this way, so we already have that as an experience within us. We already know it, even if we don't know it, because we already function by it, even if we don't know it. So within us, that soul is very much present, because that soul unfolds us in our environment in the same way as it unfolded that first cell in the body, in forming the body. So having now come to an understanding or a description, some would say a hypothesis, once you feel it at work, it's no longer a hypothesis, you can actually work with it, it becomes pragmatical, then you can see that the soul is something that you can understand. On the one hand, it's the antenna into the universe. On the other hand, it's a vortex, which, like a gyroscope, makes it possible to orient yourself in the universe. In that vortex, there's also directionality, same as the quantum movement in the quantum field. So you can actually orient yourself along that line of intent, and then as a whole it defines you in the relationship to the universe as a whole. So soul is your connection to spirit, call it the universal quantum field, call it God, call it love, call it consciousness, Akasha, there's many words for it. So now we know that there is this information field of the quantum fluctuations, and in us that quantum fluctuation, which we saw in the cell replication dynamic, is what connects us always to that quantum space, and in us keeps us connected to that quantum space, in the sleep cycle reconnects us to that quantum space, so that within us that soul is the antenna, the connection to integrate our life in the larger whole. Now I need to go to the next level of the story, which is that we have the soul doing something else than the mind. The soul has this relationship to the level where we take decisions, where we interface with our environment. It is the crossing of the boundary of the skin from outside to inside, from inside to outside. That's why the soul essentially is a one-dimensional dynamic, because when you're going from outside to inside, that's a line. When you go from inside to outside, that's a line. No matter how many lines, how many points of contact you have, it is still crossing that boundary. That's why it is a singularity. It crosses along that line, the vortex turns inside out on itself, the body turns into the universe turns into the body, the external food chain turns into the internal food chain, and the other way around, with deification. So we are always connected into the environment via this one-dimensional in-out, through all of these connection points, which meridian therapy understands so well. With that soul connection across the surface of the skin, it is then possible to get that internal circulation, which is not one-dimensional but two-dimensional, a circle, a cycle, a time cycle, the physiology. So this soul then creates and maintains that physiology. So the soul also creates the building up of the body, because that physiology starts after the two cells have been formed, and the feed forward and the feedback loop keeps them as units in unity. And then with this feed forward feedback loop, that is already the basis of the physiology of the body, the internal circulation, also the internal convictions, which is also the internal memorization, the internal storage of information, the internal storage of materials, as we do in the building up of the body, as we also do in the building up of experience in memory. So then we have two things next to each other. We have the soul, which is the pure information on the outside world, and the mind, which is the internal echo or replica, replication, reiteration, reverberation of what happened around us. So the soul takes in the information the same way as we take in food, and then the mind digests the information in the same way as we digest food. But that means that soul and mind are connected but very different. Soul is one-dimensional, memory is, mind is two-dimensional. Soul is connected to the radio fields and the electromagnetic, electric-magnetic, that duality there is at the level of the soul. While in the mind we are dealing with the chemistry, no longer with the electromagnetic but with the chemical, the electron flow in the materials, the storage in the body with the biomaterials and all that. And so the mind is then connected to what the body knows, what the body has learned, what the body has accumulated, what the body has acquired. And then out of that, what has been acquired in the body can then use patterns of these memories, organize them, filter them, integrate them, compute them in different ways as little protocols for acting in the environment by reflex. So our reflexes are cells using information from that mind level, body experience level, body memory level, to act in the environment, and that has been built over five billion years or more, because your ancestors already computed a lot of that into the DNA, which is then also used to help the cell, the first cell, unfold. That doesn't mean that the DNA is the trigger point for the unfolding of life on Earth. It's the other way around. Life unfolded on Earth and created DNA, from the amino acids to the proteins, to the RNA, to the DNA, that more and more memory could be stored and more energy could be kept, maintained, and more of it could be projected. As Peter Garayev said, the DNA is a hologram projector of information stored in the crystalline form throughout the ancestry. So with that understanding, we then have this juxtaposition of body, mind, soul, spirit from a different perspective, the dynamic perspective. The body includes the reflexes. The mind includes the thinking process and the memorization process. The soul is the learning, the capacity to contact the unknown. And spirit is the unknown, as it is outside us, but also within us. That's the domain of freedom of choice. The soul then learns how to operate decisions. The mind then operates with the convictions that come out of that. And the body, by reflex, plays it out so that we can better learn how to work with freedom of choice in that spirit domain. Okay, I needed all of that to put something else in place, which is that we now need to be able to look at the difference between mind and soul. A mind as the memories of experiences in the body, and at a deeper level also the memories of the ancestors stored in the DNA in the body, in the body cell. But soul is that experiencing in the environment, and the possibility to switch how we do with that, if we evolve, uninvolve, if we navigate forward or backwards, if we swim up the river to spawn new eggs as the salmon does high up in the mountains, or if we go down with the flow as the dead fish do. At the decision level, we change our involvement. By changing our involvement, we change our identification with the environment, and thus we change our beliefs. And by our beliefs, we change our comportment and our behavior. When people realize this, there is that transition in their understanding that, on the one hand, yes, they have that knowledge as people learn to work with in schools. You learn this, you learn that, you learn to connect it, you learn to rely on it, you learn to be able to act on it. So from mind, you can then lead your life in a specific way. But as that information is stored in memory and entered into memory, living from mind is not much more than robotic. It is memorized information, and a lot of science has become debased to that. It's what in the past would be called the pundit, somebody who has read a book and then replicate the book. Some other people will call it fundamentalist. You learn something and you believe it is so, you stop questioning it because people said you don't have to question it because this is how it is written down. No, somebody wrote it down. Somebody wrote that down for a reason. Somebody wrote it down in a context. And in the same way as we have an experience and we remember it in our body, with an intent, with a context, with the outcome, and with an effect on the body, always those four. And likewise, any book has been written in a specific context, for a specific purpose, in a specific form, having an effect on the reader. And once you know that, that level of mind is very much like a robot or like a computer, then you see that it is limited. And that level of thinking, known as the pundit, is, say, book knowledge. And so that is what you could use to teach. And an old word for teacher is Yeshua. So Yeshua, Yeshua is the same function purpose as the word Jesus. The word Jesus comes from Yeshua, which refers to this mind level learning. So in the story of Jesus versus Christ, I already elaborated that Jesus is then the knowledge which is coming from memory. But Christ is when you realize that you got that memory in the body because you acquired it somehow, and that your acquiring of new information is what you did as a baby, as a child. You didn't know anything. You don't need to know anything. You can't learn anything. In a year, a child learns to walk, talk, pee, poo, and understand language, understand social relationships. It's the fastest level of learning. And in speed learning and other such techniques, the first thing they try to do, hypnosis does that as well, is bypass what you know, so that what you don't know can find a place and reorganize what you know. That is also the essence of that story of the transition from Jesus to Christ. Once you realize that the knowledge that you have in your body is just a haphazard circumstantial collection of pebbles you found on your trail, then you actually need to turn that pile of pebble into something workable, like the stumbling stones on your path you can use as the rocks in the house that you want to live in. So you can actually create an architecture in your mind with rooms, with stairwells, with hallways, with windows and so on, by reorganizing that information. But the only way that you can do that is to realize that the knowledge that you have in your mind, the Jesus part of the story, is limited, that it is only something which in part echoes the universe as it is outside. So you have the pieces of the puzzle, but it doesn't show the whole puzzle yet. And the transition from Jesus to Christ is the transition from believing in what you know to knowing that you always learn from the unknown. It is the transition from closed-mindedness to open-mindedness. It is the transition from Jesus to Christ, from the pundit to the consciousness experience. So once you realize that, then you have the direct experience and the realization that intuition has a lot more to say than tuition, for two reasons. Intuition gets the new information and thus adds to tuition, but information also knows that all that you learned could be organized in a different way. All of the pieces of the puzzle, you can put them apart in a different way. There are many thousand possible puzzles other than the one you piece together. And many of the shamanic techniques are about, say, losing your mind, which means that you lose your archived mind. You let go of the memories so that the memories can reorganize themselves, not in the rhythm that you found them, clustered by the experiences, but by the way they are actually related. And so you allow the bits of memory to evaporate and come back again. Again, that's the same dynamic of cell replication. The materials dissolve, the molecules evaporate, the atoms discharge. So the knowledge that you have dissolves, the attachment that you have evaporates, the charges that you have just disappear. And then suddenly it can all be put together in a totally different way. So from intuition, your tuition then becomes manifold. And instead of being rigid in what you know and think, you can become fully flexible in what you know. And that is the power of connecting to soul, which is the realization that you are part of a larger whole. It's a bit like going from a baby to a child to the adolescent to the adult. At that stage of adolescence, you realize that you're just half human as a boy or a girl, and only together with the other part, which is not you, can you form a whole. So in adolescence, you learn that there is more. In adolescence, you learn to develop your soul. the first 7 years of your life, you learn to work with your body. The second 7 years of your life, you learn to work with your mind. You learn to think. You learn to organize relationships and all that. Third 7 years of your life, you learn that things are different, that there is another side to it, that you are actually incomplete, that the other part is where you actually derive from. And in a sense, you need to learn to turn yourself inside out and see the other part of the story. So you need to turn yourself inside out and let go of everything that you knew so that you can make contact with what you don't know yet. So from closed-mindedness, you go open-mindedness. From Jesus, you go into Christ, Krishna. Arjuna is the one who charioteers the wagon, the Jesus story. And Krishna is the one who knows where you can go in the world out there. So that's the connection to spirit. And when people know that and learn to trust on that, they learn to trust their intuition, they also come to understand that their soul is actually what connects them to other people, that other people have that openness too, that there is something that extends way beyond us. And in that way, you can see that we all have a soul, and the soul is, say, the larger part of us, the big self, as the I Ching calls it. And in the soul, which is also the beginner's mind, the open mind, you can look into what you don't know. So science is often associated with what people know, and sciencing is connected to what you don't know. And in that tradition, from Jesus to Christ, you go from the closed mind to the open mind, and you cross that boundary. You change your involvement, every attachment is released, and you go into a different kind of realization. And through soul, you know that everything connects. So in soul, you experience that love connects all. And that's also how I realized that when Christianity calls about Jesus Christ, it's the same as when people talk about Horus or Mithras. Once I realized that they are talking about soul, everything fell in place. Everything becomes so very much more simple and logical and coherent and connected to everything else we know. Alchemy already explains that. System theory just shows it. And with that understanding that soul is that larger understanding of self, it's not the body anatomy and the body chemistry with Big Pharma tries to cash in on, but that the body chemistry can only do its thing because there's this cloud of unknowing, as the Buddhists call it. It's electromagnetic cloud directly connected to the body, the antenna field inside and outside of the body. And that antenna field is actually the information field by which the cells connect, interconnect, replicate each other, themselves and each other, and all tie together. So that vapor-like, it's the same as the electron cloud around atoms. There is this, the alchemists call it the air element or the gas element. There's this cloud of electron in and around the body because it's orchestrated by the radio field in and around the body. Don't look at the electrons because those are the physical, but look at the radio field because it's the hologram which connects it all. Then that holographic field is what in China is called the Shen. We would now call it the biohologram. In quantum holography, you call it a hologram. So the soul is then that holographic information field which we talked about before. So then everything falls in place because we all have a soul, and with the soul we actually are like a mobile phone. We can receive and transmit. We are connected to things way far around us, because that's what the principle of resonance does. And by this resonant connection, we can then redefine what we believe, how we believe. We can tune into information which we didn't know that, and reorganize information and come to learn new things. We can also use information that we have, broadcast it and see what comes back, and learn that there is more. So this, say the hardware of the body, the anatomy, and the software of the body of mind, the Jesus story, is connected to the Christ, the radio transmitter receiver of the body, which then in spirit connects to everything that is. And via this soul transmitter receiver, we are connected to everything that has this transmitter receiver, and everything that has cells, everything that has a radio field around it, everything, basically everything that exists. Even solar flares, they have these kind of electromagnetic holographic transient fields around them. So our soul can interact with that. So these fields are all connected. Yes, Jesus or Christ is love. By the connection, it shows how everything connects. Christ is the way. Christ is the healer. Christ is and so on. So the soul is that integrative factor by which we connect to the larger whole. Okay, so now we have Jesus and Christ in place. Now we still need to get to the difference between the black soul and the white soul, which is what I ran into recently. And let me just give you this story which led up to that understanding of how this works. I was talking with somebody. He'd been doing some family constellation work. He had already discovered how the fathers, the ancestors, all this information is still in the body. Of course, the DNA is a hologram projector, and they have been adding things to it, as Bruce Lipton described. Then these memories are in the body, and at some points they act. And people, if they don't know, they can suddenly discover that they're doing things which work well or nicely, and hey, they know how that worked, but an ancestor already learned how to do that. The body remembered that and acts on that. Sometimes the ancestors just got confused and got locked up in something, and it doesn't work. So people suddenly discover that it doesn't work. And then in the same way as rebirthing makes it possible to access those earlier memories, family constellation are techniques to see them play out. And by seeing them play out, you can interact with them, you can edit them, you can improve them, you can change them. It's like programming a computer. You can reprogram a reflex, so something got stuck, you can get unstuck, you can enter into a trauma, let it go because it's no longer relevant, so the healing comes. And in this way you can then see that you have these information fields of yourself, of your ancestor, and so on. So in this case, I was talking to somebody who had lots of experience with that. As it turned out, there was an ancestor who basically he still had a bit to learn. So he had some opinions about things, and he was sort of stuck into that, and he definitely believed that it was like that, and everybody nowadays would say, hey, yeah, at that time maybe you did, but now we know so much more, we actually don't believe that anymore. But that great-great ancestor was still stuck in that belief, and as that belief was stored in the memory of that DNA and in that family line, it was evident that this great-great-great ancestor had not come up with that himself. It was a guy. So had then the poke in computer programming, right when they started, you poke and say, well, okay, so where did this come from? And then entered into the story this arrogant priest of far away Egypt, totally arrogant, I'm right, you're wrong, how dare you call me here, and what's your business anyhow, you shrimp, kind of attitude, totally narcissistic, maybe psychopath, maybe sociopath, totally disconnected and caught up in his arrogance, and as I talked about in the previous recording, probably stuck in way deep trauma, so deep that he just got caught up in this hell. As it turned out, he was reminded that he was there because he apparently had something to do with that problem way, way, way down later in the family line. And essentially he said something like, nothing to do with me. But then one of the ways I've learned to look at this is that's just a level of belief. So belief is something at the mind memory level. So that comes from somewhere. So that's always at the level of decision, which comes from the electromagnetic, which is the level of the soul. So, okay, now let's connect to the soul. And then it turned out that this guy had a totally tar-like black soul folded back on itself. And it clearly showed that this guy had been parasitically leeching his soul. So somehow he had discovered that he had a soul, and somehow from his trauma he had projected that or connected that to the soul, which is essentially what you have in the black magic story. You do the ritual, call up the black prince, and then the black prince has to obey you because you called up the black prince and the black prince came. But now it was suddenly so clear that this black prince of all of these rituals is the soul. But when the soul is made subordinate to what a human individual wants, the soul cannot do that and connect to spirit. So the soul needs to disconnect from spirit, and as a result is no longer connected to light, so it turns darker and darker and darker. And in this case it was pitch tar black, also folded together. And then it suddenly became clear that this is exactly what the shamans describe when they talk about the soul eater. I never understood what soul eater was, because the text at that level, when you read them, they're always very obscure. But this time it was so absolutely clear that this was a guy who had been able to connect to his soul, who had discovered that his soul is this radio transmitter receiver by which you can connect into the universe. That through that communication line, just as Tesla discovered, you can get energy, you can get information, you can, let's say, do magic, you can change things, and you can learn, you can become something different, you can grow, because from the soul you go to mind, you reprogram the computer, and the body can do different things. You can do the healing, you can also do the crippling. It's just computer programming. But in this case it was evident that this guy had been connecting to his soul and had been leeching his soul for all it was worth. The soul had protected the rest of the universe by disconnecting from it. And this guy had intensively drained the soul, as a result of which it just became pitch black, concentrated, condensed, and dysfunctional. But this guy still believed that he was the top of the world and all that. And as he was not changing anyhow, and as souls are actually not meant to be disconnected like that, the solution was simple, which is basically what the Christianity text and the Muslim text say. Well, once you operate from soul and you're facing the devil is always disconnected from things, because that the fallen angel, when the soul gets disconnected from spirit, because whoever is connected to the soul at that moment created that, because in this case the guy got stuck in a traumatic experience so deep, so intense, that he turned psychopath, sociopath, narcissistic. He was totally locked into that false belief. And then that false belief, that hellhole of what he got sucked into, became his reality. And then in connecting to his soul, he looked at the soul and everything else through that limitation of the hellhole that he lived into. Previously I talked about the people who from their psychopathic trauma experience project that on others and detect the weak spots in the others and attack them through that. In this case the same happened, but now not directed towards others but directed towards his own soul. The soul, in a way, it's your radio electromagnetic field, so it will work for you, because the principle of physics, so to say, don't change depending on what kind of conversation you have through the radio lines, through the radio field. But the solution was simple. Say, okay, well, the soul now was listening to him, But from our soul, we can also talk to the other soul, because if you have a radio transmitter receiver, you can connect every soul, even the soul that disconnected from spirit. That's where the Christ can always win from the devil, because the Christ is connected to the spirit and the devil is disconnected from spirit. So what we did, we connected that soul to the light, and then basically asked the soul to reconnect to spirit. Say, okay, this game of complying with what the guy wanted has lasted long enough. It's time that the reconnection takes place, so that the antenna bit, the soul, could reconnect into the spirit and started to fill up with light. And the guy was totally baffled, because he thought that he was in control, he thought he was the master of destiny, he thought that he was the master of the world, and suddenly he realized that no, he had just been caught in a little game and he'd gotten stuck there and he had no known way out. But now somebody basically opened the door, and suddenly this whole game, this whole ritual, this whole routine fell to pieces, and nothing of it was true anymore. Everything was the other way around. It's like Narcissus realizing that he was just looking at the reflection because the puddle dried up. And so that is where this understanding came in, of now we can understand the difference between the black magic and the white magic, and the soul and the dark soul. Black magic is simply when people do selfish thing and use their radio transmitter receiver to inflict that on the universe and everything else. And white magic is when people, through their soul, realize that everything is connected through love, and that in love you can share information, help resolve issues, get information, make everything better, because as a part of the whole, you can reflect or radiate the whole there where you are. That brings me to the end of this story, because then it is evident that yes, people can connect their soul to their hell experiences if they got stuck in hell because something horrible happened to them. They got caught up in this unlivable situation, and the only way they found to survive is to dive into it, to accept it as normal and do a great reset within themselves. But as a result, stepping from heaven into hell, into that limited belief that it is like that, and not finding the way out. And but when in that locked out situation in our little hell, they connect to their soul or are connected to their soul, then their soul gets sucked into their hell hole too. So their soul basically is sucked away from the universe into their hell hole. And in the Chinese medicine of the three divisions, you would say that the universe is the largest circle. The soul is the smaller circle, you is the smallest circle, but when you got locked into a hell hole, you get a still smaller circle within you, because something turned inside out. Basically, you forget that the universe is there around, and you create this little puddle picture inside of you, forget that the universe is there, and then when you think that everything, that you're everything, then your soul gets sucked in there too. So basically you're the largest circle, the hell hole is the hell hole is the largest circle, you're the smaller circle within that, and the soul gets sucked into that. So the system inverts, and this principle of inversion is at the core of generate, operate, destroy, the I God principle of creation in the universe. So for me, it was quite beautiful to see how this falls in place, because it also means that we can deal with all these psychopaths who are on the earth. They're basically people who got stuck into a hellhole. Maybe they did it, maybe their ancestors did it, maybe in their lineage that did happen. So they somehow were able to connect to soul, but then their soul got disconnected from spirit. So all that people need to do is connect to their soul, from their soul connect to spirit, and then they are all connected to each other, and then they can help those people who got sucked in their hellhole, got stuck in their hellhole, and actually now believe that this is the way it is and they are the top of the world. Well, they just got it the wrong way around. In Narcissus, he looks in the puddle and it's left, right is reversed, but at the next level, inside and outside is inverted too. So that means we now have a solution to get out of that. But the solution is to get into it first, to resolve your own internal trauma. As a result, discover that you're not caught up by your trauma, but you're actually a living being in the universe. So you go into your adolescence of your psychic or spiritual awakening. Then you realize that in your feeling you're connected to everybody, and that these feelings are actually much larger than you might have imagined, and much more precise than you might have thought. So it's not just that you share love with people, but you share telepathy with people as well. In the some of the magic books, it's called the big O, for the big orgasm. The orgasm creates that feeling of dissolving in yourself, so that you open up to the universe. When you open that with others, it goes in a kind of stereo. It opens up even further. And then in that big orgasm, the soul then opens up. You go into your spiritual adolescence. You see that there is this whole universe, and you are in it, and you can feel into the universe, and you can feel how everything is connected in love, and that you're connected to other people in love, and you have all of these marvelous experiences. And then as a whole, you realize that that's what the universe is. So that brings me to the end of this story, that we have a body which has been passed over the millions of years, billions of years, and now it's yours and you're here. You have a mind, so you can process information, organize the information, accumulate information, and work with that. You can believe it or not, but that's just at the level of belief. The body is at the level of the reflexes, and the mind is at the level of belief. And actually, like a baby, the learning comes from the soul level, where the inside and the outside are connected at the deepest level, which is where I started the story. That's why I needed to elaborate that so much. And then you see that that's not just happening in you, that's happening in every being and everything in the universe. That everything has this vortex where things turn inside out, and this antenna by which we connect to everything. So the more you tune into that antenna, the more you can declutter the clogged up bits in your memory banks, the more you can take the stones out of your river bedding and build a house of that. Then the river bedding can go free. Mind can flow freely. Mind is no longer stuck. Soul can reflect into it. Then you realize that what you think is shareable with others. Soul is the platform by which you then interact with life and with others. Love is the experience of being one with yourself and with others. And that's a totally different kind of music. And then you realize that that kind of music is everywhere. And that it's not just in other people, in other life forms, in other beings, but you in a way start to talk with the clouds, which is the shamans. They think of something and they see an animal come by, to see that the universe actually is part of that ongoing thought. The thought's not internal but also external. That really opens you even more, so you live with soul even more, you experience love even more, and then you realize that that's what the universe is, and that's what's called spirit. And so now with that experience of the with great thanks to that ancestor of that guy I met, by his being stuck, we now can see how everybody can be unstuck, and that dark souls are simply souls that got disconnected. So all that we need to do is reconnect. And when you know how you can reconnect your soul, you can help somebody else to do that too.